Good morning. Welcome to morning worship here at Kemnay Parish Church. If you're a visitor in our midst, we welcome you most warmly to this time of worship together. We do have a few announcements to get through before we enter into our time of worship. First of all, a reminder that this Tuesday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon here in the church, we'll have a funeral and celebration of life for Mary Duncan. That's Tuesday at 1 o'clock, and I believe that will be followed by a reception at the church center. The next announcement is that, as you may know, our Bible discovery groups are now underway. These are chances for us as a church family to get together at certain times a week on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays to study God's Word together, to come to know it more deeply. I believe Mondays we have a class on Paul's letter to the Colossians, led by David Bale. Wednesdays, we have a class on the Gospel of John, led by me. And Thursdays, we have a class on the Gospel of Matthew being offered. So three very good options for learning more about God's Word. And I would encourage you to come to those classes and to partake of this opportunity to learn more about God's Word. The next announcement has to do with the next gathering of our men's group, which will happen on Tuesday, 22nd of September. And the guest will be Reverend Barry Douglas from Seton Community Church in Aberdeen. And come, and if for all men are invited to come and hear about the planting of that church in Seton. The next meeting of our Finance and Stewardship Committee will happen tomorrow night, 14th of September at 7:30 p.m. in the Church Center. Advance notice about our Harvest Thanksgiving celebration coming up, which will be held on Sunday, the 4th of October at 10 o'clock here in the church. Collections will be held for the Inverary Food Bank or money for their development and of foodstuffs for distribution. Only non-fresh, in-date items, please. Please see your Kirk News for more details. And last but certainly not least, I've been asked to make an announcement about what will be a long-term project, but very worthwhile project in our church about audio and visual improvements here. And as we implement this new project, we're going to need help with computer operation, especially with the sound system and with visual recording. Yes, we're going visual. And in the time to come, there'll be training sessions to learn these new programs, learn this new equipment. If you're interested in helping out with this particular aspect of the church's ministry, please talk to Jim Buchan or to Helen Lau for more information. And Helen has asked to make it clear that helping out with this means you still get to hear my sermons as well. So I'm assuming that's a good thing versus a... These are all of my announcements. Are there any other announcements to share with our church family this morning? Any other announcements at all? Well, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it together, and let us rise as we are able for our gathering song, At Your Feet We Fall.
Let's all stand and sing. Thank you.
Before I forget, I was forgetful and forgot one majorly important announcement as well that is of crucial importance in my mind. Today is the start of American football season. Go Seahawks. And go Bengals, I guess, Paul. Our theme for the day centers around the third of the I am statements in the Gospel of John. This third I am statement, when Jesus says, I am the gate, or I am the door of the sheep. This particular I am statement is followed quickly by the fourth I am the good shepherd. That's a very famous one. I think the I am statement of about the gate is less well known, less familiar to us. But this particular section of John's gospel, especially in verse 10, has a very important teaching for us. After he calls himself the gate of the sheep, our Lord Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it in abundance. When I was reading through this text, I was thinking to myself that, at least in the United States, maybe it's true here as well, that all too often we focus on God as the one who's supposed to give us a good and easy life. And in American churches, we have what we call the prosperity gospel, which centers on God as the giver of health and wealth and whatnot. And all too often, this particular verse, I have come that they may have life and abundant life, is used to justify that kind of thinking. But the thing about the Gospel of John is that he uses very special words. And the word here he uses for life is a word that refers to life eternal, the kind of life that God has. There's different words for our biological, earthly life that John uses, but the word here in the Greek is zoe, which means life that does not end. So as we ponder this passage together today, I would like us to keep this last verse in mind. I'd like us to keep this life that does not end in mind, and to ponder how Jesus is working in each of our lives to make this zoe life come to full fruition. And so with that said, we will now continue our worship of God with singing our next hymn together, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
Lord, have mercy. Let us pray. Dear Lord and Father, we bring our offerings before you today and trust that these will be used prudently in your honour. This week has been a week of contrasts, beautiful sunshine followed by chilly evenings and pouring rain. We are so fortunate living here below Benahee. Along the country roads, huge circular hay bales are lined regimentally in the fields. Now is the time of year for all of us to garner the fruits of the summer and prepare our fields and gardens for next spring's planting. We may be losing the summer warmth, but you, Lord, have ensured this seasonal cycle will continue. As John Donne wrote over 400 years ago, no spring or summer beauty has more grace as I have seen on one autumnal face. We thank you, Lord, for giving us this wonderful environment and the knowledge and ability to continue providing for its inhabitants. Thank you for blessing all of us with skills, gifts, and abilities. Help us to use these for the betterment of your world and all the people in it. We have, Lord, been remiss at times, thinking too much of our own needs and not considering the plight of others in our world. Help and guide us to look more outwards and to be more supportive to one another, respectful of differences. Help us to be more welcoming to those in need of sanctuary and support as they strive to gain a more peaceful life for their families. As we join in worship today, we honour you and feel your presence with us. Guide our leader Joshua as he reminds us of the time when Jesus said, "I am the gate for the sheep." We listen for your voice, Lord, as it gives us a feeling of all-embracing security. Be with everyone here today. Fill our hearts with love for you and all those we meet each day. Guide our thoughts, our words, and our actions so that each day is pleasing to you. We remember your promise to us, "I am with you always." Let us join together in the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning, boys and girls. I'll start with a question for you. Who here owns some kind of pet? Who here owns some kind of pet? What kind of pet do you have? A dog, yeah? A dog, yeah. Who else here has pets? Anyone can answer. Yes? What kind of pet? A dog, yes. Uh-huh. Helen?
A hamster.
Ooh, I had one of those when I was growing up. Very nice indeed. Who here has ever wanted a pet but doesn't have one? Yeah. So a few of those as well. Yes, indeed. When I was growing up, I begged and begged my mother and my father to get me a bunny rabbit, but they would not give in, and I still hold it against, no, I don't hold it against them to this still day. No, when I was growing up, though, we did have all kinds of pets, and right now, back home in America, my mom and my dad have one particular pet. Who knows what this is? Yeah? It's a dog, right? Yes? But what kind of dog? It's a Gordon Setter. A Gordon Setter. I think that's my mom's way of feeling connected to us while we're in Scotland. She gets Scottish dogs, so God bless her for it. One of my jobs when I'm home with this dog, one of my jobs is to take it for walks. Or I guess more accurately, she takes me for a walk. She gets very excited when we put the leash on her. But it's amazing, though, that when she's walking along, her name's Libby, by the way, right? And she's walking along, taking in the world around her, then all of a sudden, my mom or myself will say, Libby, and she'll stop and look at us. She will recognize our voice, right? She will recognize our voice. And by the way, when it comes to dogs, Heather and I are thinking about getting one. So any feedback or any suggestions on types of dogs are most welcome. And the way that Libby behaves, because other people will come up to her and say her name, Libby, but she won't turn her head and look at them. She won't look at strangers. But when somebody in her family says her name, she'll stop and look at them and wait for a command. Dogs are amazing that way. Cats don't listen to anybody. Proof that dogs are better, in my opinion. And the way that Libby behaves made me think about this passage from the Gospel of John. In this passage, boys and girls, Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. They recognize my voice. They know when I'm talking to them. That's amazing, isn't it? Jesus says that when he speaks, we have the ability to hear him, to listen to him, and to obey him. That's a remarkable statement. Each of us has the ability to hear God speaking to us. And just like our dog Libby chooses to listen to us when we speak, each of us here should ask God for the ability to hear him when he speaks to us. Because every time, boys and girls, God tells us something, it's for our own good. And Jesus is always, always speaking to us. So my prayer for each of us today is that we can learn to hear the voice of Jesus. We can learn to hear him at all times, in all places, in happy times, and in sad times. So when we learn to hear about Jesus, when we learn to hear Jesus, that is when life is what it's supposed to be. That is when we become what we truly are supposed to be, children of God, sheep of God's pasture. And those who hear Jesus' voice, he says, enter into pasture. They enter into the life that God wants for them. So let's pray together. Dear God, help us to hear your voice. And when we hear your voice, help us to obey you. Help us to love you. Help us to listen to you. Help us to be your sheep who hear your voice. Amen. Now we continue our worship of God with singing our next song together, I Lift My Hands.
Okay, let's all sing together. I will serve.
Our Bible reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 to 10, and that's on page 1076 on the Church Bible. Jesus, the gate to the sheepfold. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him, because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Amen, and may God bless this reading to us.
Thank you, Jim. Let us continue to worship our God through song by singing our next hymn together, "Will You Come and Follow Me?"
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, we are here to know you better. We are here so that we may have life, life in abundance. In these next few moments, Lord, we pray that your Spirit would fill us with your wisdom, with your truth, and with your power. Be in our thinking, be in our hearing, be in our preaching. Amen. Well, during my time on the eastern coast of the United States, that time when I was in seminary, I always enjoyed any chance I got to sneak away to New York City for an afternoon. There is no place quite like the Big Apple. And the fact that I found the idea of wandering around a concrete jungle like New York City to be relaxing should tell you something about my stress level while I was in seminary. I never ceased to be amazed by, when I was in New York, by the sheer number of slogans and displays on street corners, on the sides of buildings, especially on those gigantic electronic screens right in the middle of Times Square, in the very heart of the city. I was also amazed by the sheer number of slogans and pieces of advice on the clothing of the hordes of people who live in, who visit, and work in New York City. During one of my visits, when I was right in the middle of Times Square, I found myself wondering what would happen if someone tried to follow every piece of advice, every slogan in Times Square. What would happen if someone decided to be all they could be, the U.S. Army? Would they just do it, Nike? Or would they rather entertain the question, have you had your break today, McDonald's? Or would they simply sit there and daydream about the happiest place on earth, otherwise known as Disneyland? I think I know which one my wife would choose. And it's not McDonald's. It doesn't take much time to realize that if we tried to follow every slogan, every piece of advice out there, we would all become overwhelmed, especially since many pieces of advice contradict other pieces of advice that we give. I remember a movie that came out a few years ago starring Jim Carrey. It was called The Yes Man. Anyone ever see this movie or not? But he decided that he was a man who said no to everything. And he changed his mind and started to say yes to everything. And the movie is all about the consequences of following every piece of advice, every suggestion. But half the battle in life, I think, is knowing which pieces of advice to follow and which ones to ignore. And one of my favorite ways to spend free time, whether I'm in New York or elsewhere, is to peruse bookstores. And bookstores are full of books about advice, aren't they? And I think what we choose to read, what we choose to consult for advice and for guidance, tells others a great deal about who we are. What we choose to read tells others a great deal about the principles that guide and shape our lives. In the words of Oscar Wilde, it is what you read when you don't have to that determines what you will be when you can't help it. It is what you read when you don't have to that determines what you will be when you can't help it. Judging from the stock and selection in most bookstores, a lot of people have taken Oscar Wilde's idea to heart. There are a lot of people out there who are preoccupied with becoming better people. The size of the self-improvement section of each bookstore is unwieldy, isn't it? When we look at a self-improvement section in a bookstore, it can feel as overwhelming as that slew of slogans in Times Square. And each year, more and more books are churned out, each of which claims to have the key for the life that seems to always be just beyond our fingertips, but it's in there for us in chapter 5. And because our culture is so preoccupied with what is new and what is flashy and what is cutting edge, we often, to our great peril, ignore older sources of wisdom, older sources of advice and guidance. There seems to be an insatiable market for the peddling of new ideas, new strategies for becoming the people that we have always wanted to be. And over against this, we have Scripture. We have this collection of writings that we believe to be the Word of God. And that book is full of advice and guidance. But Scripture, as we know, is not the latest thing off the presses, and so many people overlook it solely for that reason. When we take the time to read it, to wrestle with it, to pray over it, we quickly see that Scripture also contains a mountain of timeless wisdom that surpasses the flash-in-the-pan insights that even the best self-help section in any given bookstore has to offer. And this process of prayerfully wrestling with Scripture reminds me of what one of my mentors from university used to say to me. He used to say, if we rake, we get leaves. If we dig, we get diamonds. As with most things in life, what we get from our reading of Scripture will mirror exactly what we put into it. In this morning's text from John, this third I am statement, I am the gate, and what follows that statement has much to teach us about true wisdom. It has much to teach us how we are to become better people. In John 10, verse 4, Jesus said, my sheep follow me, for they know my voice. They know my voice. I think that's the Lord's way of telling us that each and every person here is created in the image of God and created with the ability to hear God's voice. Each and every one of us is created with some innate sense of right and wrong, some internal grasp of God's moral law. None of us are blank slates. None of us. I think each and every one of us is created with the capacity to hear God's voice. This internal sense of right and wrong, of morality, is enough often to make us aware of right and wrong. But all too often, that voice gets lost or is ignored in the tempestuous waters of real-time moral decisions. All too often, the roar of life makes it hard to hear Jesus' voice in given situations. And even good, well-intentioned people find themselves making choices and living lives that simply do not match up with their inner values. I think few things are harder. Few things wear on our souls more than believing something to be true, even confessing it with our lips, and then living in a manner that denies that same belief. Kind of reminds me of that statement from our Lord that says, a house divided against itself cannot stand. But in order to stay on the path, in order to fully live in this abundant life that God wants for each and every one of us, in order to make our inner and outer lives fit together, we need help. We need someone or something that can cut through the dull roar of the world. We need someone or something who can keep us from following others down rabbit holes and from chasing our own tails and getting nowhere. And the one voice, of course, the one thing that can do this is the voice of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is always speaking. John elsewhere calls him the Word of God, the Word made flesh. This active, dynamic Word that wants to shape us and mold us into the people that we are supposed to be. But can we hear his guidance in our lives? Have we put ourselves in positions to make us receptive to the words of Jesus? And there are many ways, I think, to know Jesus Christ better. But there is one way that trumps every other way. There is one way that leaves every other way in the dust. The best way to know Jesus Christ, the best way to learn to hear the voice that will never, ever steer us wrong, is to read Scripture and to make it an integral part of our daily lives. And I'm not just talking about reading on the surface level of skimming for basic content. I'm talking about reading it in a way that lets it into our very pores, into our very beings. I'm talking about reading it in a way that expects Scripture to teach us about the kind of people that we can and should be. Remember the quote we just heard from Oscar Wilde? It's what you read when you don't have to that determines what you will be when you can't help it. This is especially true when it comes to Scripture. When the storms of life come our way, and they will come, we all know that, don't we? That's when the values and the qualities and the beliefs that are nearest and dearest to our hearts will take over. It is during those times that we will be revealed as we truly are. And if we take the time to dwell in Scripture, if we let the words of Jesus Christ into the inner chambers of our hearts, if we regularly take time to listen for the Lord's voice in our lives, then we will remain anchored, and life's storms will not blow us about like a leaf on the wind. It really matters who and what we listen to. Not every voice and every authority should be given the same weight. As the sheep of God's pasture, we should be very careful about who and what we listen to, about who and what we let into our lives. When I lived and worked in Ayrshire, I heard a story about a tombstone in a cemetery that was inscribed with the following words. It said, "Pause, stranger, when you pass me by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. So prepare for what's next and follow me." Beneath this very weighty inscription, someone scratched the following words into the stone. "To follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went." It really does matter who and what we listen to. Now, throughout my ministry, anytime I've made a plea for deeper immersion in Scripture, this plea has usually been met with one or two responses. Either, "I don't have time," "I don't know how." And often they go together. If we don't make the time, we never learn how. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands for a change, but if you fall into the first group of "I don't have time," I would remind you of our Lord's words in Matthew 24:35. Where Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words never will." The words of Jesus Christ, the words of the one who said, "I am the gate, I came that they may have abundant life," these words will outlast creation itself. They will outlast everything else we hold dear, no matter how permanent it may seem in the moment. These words of Jesus, spoken to us throughout Scripture, are the words of the first and last, the Alpha and the Omega, our beginning and our end. And at the risk of sounding heavy-handed, if we say we don't have time to listen to the one who created everything around us and sustains it in every moment of existence, then we need to take a long, hard look at our priorities. If we fall into this camp, we need to re-examine our lives and ask God to remind us about what is truly important. If you fall into the second response, "I don't know how to read Scripture. I don't know how to get into it. It's an intimidating book. How to begin?" I have a few suggestions. First of all, this church has 3 weekly opportunities to study Scripture together. On Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Like I said in the announcements, Mondays is Colossians, Wednesdays is the Gospel of John, and Thursdays is the Gospel of Matthew. No matter how much we think we know about Scripture, these gatherings are good and safe places to bring our questions, to bring our concerns, to learn more about the Word of God. We will never learn more if we don't try. Trying to grow in our faith without reading Scripture is like trying to run a marathon without training. How well will that work? If you need other options besides these studies, come talk to me. Come talk to me about it. I promise you, I will not laugh. I will not roll my eyes. I will not give you a lecture. As a pastor, the great joy and calling of my life is to help others come to know Jesus Christ. Please let me help you. Along with these formal opportunities to study Scripture together, Another option is to try and break it down into manageable pieces day by day. Maybe read a psalm every day and take many days with longer psalms. John Calvin, the great reformer, referred to the book of Psalms as the great prayer book of the church. When we read these passages, then we immerse ourselves in the mighty current of the church's faith. When we immerse ourselves in these passages, we're not trying to do it alone anymore, but we are joining our voices in prayer with those who have come before and those who will come after us in the faith. Saints in ages past have turned to the Psalms for comfort and for courage. They have turned to them so that they may have life and life in abundance. We would do well to follow their example. Another option, because I don't want you to think I'm not giving you options, is to work your way and to use a prayer book like this one here I have in my hand. It's called Celtic Daily Prayer. It's designed to be read in a two-year cycle, 2 years to get through this. It breaks it down into tiny little pieces. And in the past, Heather and I have used this book, this is her copy, by the way, to deepen our own prayer life together. And it's manageable. On average, working through an entire day of material and script with complete with scripture readings and prayers and reflection takes about, what, 20 minutes a day? 20 minutes a day, that's all. Not that much time, but it still covers a good amount of scripture. And over the two-year cycle, you go through most of the Bible right there. If you want to take a closer look at it, ask me about it after the service. And I can suggest several other resources if you want to know about them as well. And all of these opportunities, all of these resources, all of these practices are not ends in of themselves. All of these things are done so that we may come to know the voice of the one who calls out to his sheep. All these things are done so that we may come to know Jesus better, which is what our lives really should be about. There is no season of life when God cannot or should not be at the center of our lives. There is no season when we should not seek to hear the voice of the one who knows us better than we know ourselves. We truly are the sheep of his pasture. And therefore, we should strive to know the voice of the one who said, "I am the gate of the sheep." We serve a God who wants to be in relationship with us, who has spoken to us in Jesus Christ. And I believe that God has called each and every one of us here so that we can become better disciples of Jesus. And Scripture and the voice of Jesus Christ is the great key to this high calling. Everything we need to know about Jesus is contained in Scripture. Everything we need to know about his great love for our broken world is in that grand collection of books. Everything we need to know about how to touch other people's lives, how to transform our world, all of these things are found in the precious words of the one who calls us to hear his voice and follow him. So, will we take the time to learn how to listen? Will we take the time to hear Christ's voice anew? I pray that we will. For it is when we hear Christ that we hear the word of abundant life. It is when we hear Christ that we pass through that sheep gate into the pasture of the living God. So may we hear Christ together. May we hear his voice calling to us anew. And may we receive that abundant life that we so desperately need. Amen. We hear Christ through prayer, through preaching, through the reading of his word, and we hear the voice of Christ through song as well. So let us now continue our worship of God with singing our next song together, "I Will Enter His Gates."
I will enter his gates and praise him in my heart. our prayers for the world, let us pray. Lord, we praise you that you are the gate, that you have enabled us to come into the kingdom through you. We thank you for giving us your word, for calling us and enabling us to respond through the power of the Spirit. Thank you that you've brought us together as your people. Thank you that you brought us together as your people here in Kemnay and in many churches throughout the world. And thank you that you are still calling people to come and find your way and your truth and your eternal life. We praise you that you are reaching out into this world. And Lord, as we look at the world, we see so much need. We pray so much, Lord, for the wisdom of our leaders, for compassion of communities with regard to the huge refugee crisis that we have, of people fleeing from terrible oppression, from terrible conflicts, from terrible cruelty. And Lord, we pray that we will have compassion and that we will give the help that is needed, that we will welcome people and give them healing from their trauma. And Lord, by your grace, we pray that you will also meet with them and that you'll give them just not the comfort from their sorrows, but a deep life, a life in you. And Lord, we pray that you will reach out to those from all sorts of backgrounds, all sorts of faiths, that they will see your true life. And Lord, we pray for an end of the terrible conflicts, the conflicts in Syria and Iraq, and in so many parts of the world, Lord. We ask for your wisdom for our leaders again, and we pray that they won't make rash decisions, do things which will just exacerbate the situation. But Lord, bring peace, bring discussion, bring compromise, and bring control. Lord, we pray for your people who are persecuted for their faith. There are many who are trying to witness to you and shine for you, declaring your word, being true to you. And Lord, just as the church was born, they are oppressed and discriminated against for your name. We ask that you be so close to them, that you'll fill them with your spirit, that they might just know the joy of your presence with them. And Lord, we pray for those who we know who are sick and those who are in the last days or even hours of their life. We ask that you'll be so close to them. Thank you that they know that they're secure in you, and may they know your love surrounding them and that their eternity with you is safe. Be with them in these times and give them your comfort and your blessing. And Lord, we pray for our society. We pray for our politicians in all the parliaments in this country, in this nation. We ask that you will give them your guidance and that they will follow your truth, and that, Lord, we will have a just society, a more equal society, and a more inclusive one. And Lord, one where people can realize their capabilities, and one where we look after those who do not have the wherewithal to care for themselves. And we pray that, again, your church will be very much part of our society, that we will glorify you. And Lord, that we will be your voice piece, your way of reaching out to the world and bringing your peace, Lord. And we pray for our witness here. We ask that, Lord, you will really open the hearts and lives of people in this community to receive you. And the Lord, we will grow together in you as we dwell on your word, as we allow it to enrich our lives. And Lord, to challenge us and to encourage us and to enable us to go out and share your light. And Lord, that we will show other people that you are the gate, the way into the kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us now continue to worship God with singing of our closing hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.